What happened? He changed his job,
Last week we left off. We were learning the Gemara Kuf Yud Amid Aleph, going over to Kuf Yud Amid Beis, the Maseches Chulin. The Gemara telling this humorous story about Rami Bar Dikula, who came from Pumbedisa, where Rabbi Yehuda was the Rav, and they were very sharp, and everything he did was unconventional. So they saw he wasn't wearing tefillin. So they said, "How you talking?" In the days of the Gemara, they wore tefillin the whole day. He says he has a problem with his diarrhea. He's not allowed to wear tefillin. He's not wearing tzitzis. He says talashul. He has a teretz on everything. And then the Gemara has on the top of Amud Beis on the second line adahachi. In the meanwhile, I saw Lahu Gavra. There was a young man who was brought to the Bezdin. The Lahavi Moiker Rav Uviyime. He violated Kibbut Aviyim. Moiker is to be mechabit. He was mechabit his parents. So the din is that Bezdin is supposed to be koifa ala mitzvah. So if a person does an aver, if a person does want to do a mitzvah, so we're supposed to force them to. There's no freedom of religion. There's no separation of church and state. The government is supposed to be run by the rabbanim, and the government is supposed to force everybody to keep the mitzvahs. Kufiyut on the base, on the top. The pasuk says, "Hanis Torah Lashem Alakeinu Hanigalos Lonol Vayneid Adolam Lassos." It's called the Beateraziz. Hanigalos, Hanis Torah. Someone's doing an aveir in private. We don't know what he's doing. That's Lashem Alakeinu. Let the Rebbeinu Shlom get after him. Hanigalos, if someone is openly violating a mitzvah, violating an aveir, Lonol Vayneid Adolam Lassos. So the word Lassos we usually translate to observe the mitzvahs, to do. But there's another interpretation, Lassos, to force, Isui. La ma'asin, a get ma'usa, to force someone to keep the mitzvahs. So la'asos is called tirazazme, and the bezin has to force people to observe the mitzvahs. So the person wasn't observing kibbut aviyim, so they brought him to the bezin, kopsuhu, and they tied him up, and they were going to give him malchus. He didn't violate a loisesei, but they were going to give malchus mardus. They tied him up, they're about to force him, they're going to beat him up to teach him a lesson, that they should be more medactic about kibbut av. So this character, Rami Bar Dikula from Pumbedisa, has what to say about everything. So he says, Zokta Shavkuhu, leave him alone, you're not supposed to force him to keep kibbut av. The Tanya, we have a brisa, and they weren't aware of that din. Kol mitzvah says, Shemat Nitzchor B'tzida, whenever the Torah records a mitzvah, and right next to the mitzvah it says, if you do this mitzvah, you get a reward, then Bezdin is not required to force everyone to observe it. The people should know on their own they have to observe it. The Torah promises a big reward, boy lamazeh. So since Kibbut Aviyim says, Laman Yarichon Yamecho, so this Matan Tzchor B'tzido, so we don't have to force him to keep the mitzvah. He should understand on his own that he should keep the mitzvah. So the Rav, who was the Rav in the city? I forgot already. Rav Chizda. Chizda was the Rav in the city. He came, this Rami Bar Dikula came from Pumbedisa to the city Sura. And Rav Chizda was the rabbi in Sura. Rav Chizda said, I see every answer that you're giving is sharper than the other answer. He has what to say about everything. So he says, Rav Chizda tells this person, Chazinaloch, the Harif is Tuva. I see that you're very sharp. Amalei, he says, oh, if you would live in my city where my rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda, you would meet sharp people. The others are sharper than me. You have his basid, the Rabbi Yehuda. If you would be in the city, in the Mokim of Rabbi Yehuda, my rabbi is there, Pumbedisa, Achlin Allah Hurfoy, I would show you real sharp people. So this is the famous Gemara. So this, here is a famous Taisvis. No, that's a Tana. Rab Shimon, Rab Yehuda, those are Tanaim. This is an Amora, Rab Yehuda. This is in Bavel. That's Rebbe Yehuda, because he had real smicha. In Bavel, they didn't have any smicha, so they were reverend. They weren't real rabbi. It was an imitation smicha, so it's called Rab Yehuda. Rab Chizda. They didn't have, you can't give smicha in Chutz Lartz. If you get smicha in Eretz Yisrael and then you go to Chutz Lartz, the smicha doesn't disappear. You can function as part of a bezin with smicha, but they lived in Bavel all the time. They couldn't afford to fly back and forth. So they never had any smicha. So here there's a famous taisus that appears in other mesichtas. The second taisus on the daf. Kol mitzvus asay shematn schara b'tzido. Whenever the Torah records a mitzvah and it says right next to the mitzvah, and you will be rewarded for fulfilling this mitzvah. So bezn shalmato, these the rabbanim, the bezn of rabbanim, is not obligated to force people to observe the mitzvah. The promise of the reward itself should be enough to encourage people to observe the mitzvah. So, Fractasis Akasha, there is a Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Chesem Beis, which says, Rove Achti Eile Rav Nosson Barami. Nosson Barami was a rabbi, and he gave tzedakah, but it wasn't kefi yecholto. He wasn't giving his little too cheap. He wasn't giving the proper amount of tzedakah that he should have given. Tzedakah is not the same for everybody. If you have a multimillionaire, he's supposed to give much more. There's some mitzvahs that are the same for everybody. Matzah, maror, and that's the same. Tefillin, tzitzit, the same for everybody. Then there's some mitzvahs, let's say learning Torah. If a person has more time on his hands, and a person is more intelligent, and he understands better, he's mukhif to learn more Torah. Giving tzedakah is ish kimatne siyada kevir kasa Hashem alakech Hashem asnalach. That pasuk ish kimatne siyada, that says in Chumash regarding the two mitzvahs that you bring on Shalosh Regalim. On Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, so you're obligated to bring Oilas Riya and Shalmi Chagiga and Shalmi Simcha. So the Oilas Riya, Shalmi Chagiga, that's what the pasuk says ish kimatne siyada kevir kasa Hashem alakech Hashem asnalach. That chiv is not shovel akol. Whoever can afford more should spend more money to buy more karbonos. Whoever can't afford that much, you can have 100 people join together to bring one oilas riyah. Or you can have one person who's so wealthy, let him bring 100 oilas riyah. It all depends how much you can afford. So tzedakah is like that, it depends how much you can afford. And ish kimatnas yada, oilas riyah, shalmi chagiga is like that, Talmud Torah is like that. So the Gemara says in Bava Basra Daf Ches, this Rav Nosson Barami was giving tzedakah, but he wasn't giving in accordance with how much he earned, he should have given more. So Rava forced him, Rava Achpiel, Rav Nosson Barami, and he made him give an additional 400 Arbimea Zuz Litzdok. Made him give an additional $400 over and above what he was giving. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha, that in the Chumash it says, Pasach Tiftach Es Yodcha, you should open up your hand and give tzedakah. Chibiglala dover hazeh, yivarechach Hashem alakecho. As a reward for fulfilling the mitzvah tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you, and you will have hatzlacha. So why isn't tzedakah also a mitzvah saseh, v'matan tzchor b'tzido, she'ein bezdem tzorim aleh? That's Tosis kasha. How come they forced him? So Tosis gives several suggestions. Tosis here in the Tosis in Bava Basra, they give a few suggestions. The Yom Rabbeinu Tam, one suggestion is that when it says Rova forced Achpiyeh, he was Koifer, Rav Nosson Barami, to give tzedakah, is Kfiya Bidvarim. He gave him Musa. He didn't beat him up. Here, the Gemara says Kafsu. They took the kid who was Mezalzel and Kibarav, they tied him up, and they were going to give him Makas Mardis. Can't give Malkus, he didn't violate Eloisa, so they were going to give Makas Mardis to be Koifer Ala Mitzvah. So that, Bezen Shalmato shouldn't beat him up. But he gave him a tongue lashing. He gave him musa. That it's not right. Does that make sense? Does that verb kaife achbiye? Can that verb apply when you just give musa? So Tyson says yes. The Gemara says in Ksubis that there is about a shidduch. So they forced the guy to go into the room and agree to give to support the son-in-law. So it does mean they beat him up. His daughter was going to get engaged to a boy, and he wasn't so keen about supporting the boy after he gets married. So the Gemara says that they forced him. I mean, they didn't beat him up. He doesn't have to let his daughter marry this young man. They convinced him. They spoke to him. Sometimes it says, Ye koifa ala get. Sometimes bezna is koifa ala get. The bezna sees that it's not right. The man isn't giving a get, so you koifa. So there are two kinds of koifa. Sometimes you whip him until either he'll die, she'll become an almana, or he'll agree to give the get. And sometimes you just give kaifa bidvarim. Sometimes you just give a musar. Different cases. If he's really ba'aveling the girl, he's really being mean, he's not living with the girl. They're living separately, and he's not giving her support, and he's not giving her a get. So she doesn't live with him, she can't live with anybody else. So that's not fair. So then you kaifa him, you beat him up.
Why is that a get musar?
The Gemara asks, why isn't that a get melissa? So that's a discussion of Cheskes Habatim. The Gemara quotes a din of Tol Yuhu Bezovin Zvina Zvina. Let's say I have a Rembrandt in my home. I have a beautiful menorah, whatever, in my home. And you come and you say, how much would I want for it? I say, it's not for sale. That's my private home. It's not a store. If you come, if I have a store and everything's for sale and you come with a gun and you say, I want to buy it, hey, you don't need the gun. I'll be happy to sell you. But if it's a private thing in my home, so I say, it's not for sale. So the guy holds up a gun and he says, how much do you want for the painting? So I say how much it is. So he gives me approximately what I asked for. If he gives me a dollar for $1 million Rembrandt, so that's Tal Yuhu V'Yohiv. If they pressured me to give them Atana, that's Shalom Yidas, that's Bal Korcho. But if they pressured me, Tal Yuhu V'Zovin, they pressured me, and they paid the right amount for it. He paid take close to $500,000. I think I said $500,000. He pays close to $500,000. So the Gemara says, sometimes we know people who have paintings all over the house, and then when times are bad, so they sell the paintings. Aye, but the painting for the last 40 years of marriage, the painting was not for sale. Yeah, but now he has to pay chayvus, whatever. The court said he has to pay, so he sells all of his collections, sells all of his paintings. So we know that sometimes under pressure, people make decisions to sell personal belongings that normally were not for sale. So if someone holds a gun to my head and he threatens to kill me unless I sell it, that's not an unreasonable decision. Under pressure, he made a reasonable decision to sell a Rembrandt for $500,000. Okay. So the Gemara says, if the man is being unfair to his wife, when he has the wife, so the wife does the laundry, and the wife cooks all the food, and the wife cleans the house and so on, but he has to buy fur coats for the wife, and he has to buy her 25 pocketbooks and 55 set pairs of shoes and whatever, he has to spend money on the wife. So now the Bezdin will force him to get divorced. He'll lose and he'll gain. He doesn't have to support the wife. She takes all every month he gives her the paycheck, and she spends all the money. So now they're going to force him to divorce the wife. So he won't have anybody to cook all the food and to clean the house, and he won't have to spend money on her. So the Gemara considers that fair. The Gemara doesn't consider that unfair. So just like if he pays me $500,000 for the Rembrandt, under normal conditions, the Rembrandt is not for sale. I'd like to have it in my home. But under the circumstances, sometimes if I would be pressured, I would sell it for $500,000. So this pressure is a reasonable pressure. He holds a gun to my head and I say, okay, under the circumstances, I'll sell it for $500,000. That's how much it goes for. So here also, under the circumstances, sometimes a man will divorce his wife.
It's not a voluntary choice. In other words, he has no choice.
Right, but the Gemara
would have a choice.
Right, so the Gemara says that that's not considered Bal Korcho. We paskin like this opinion, that if someone holds a gun to my head and pressures me to sell a Rembrandt, and he pays me the correct amount for it, even though without the gun it wouldn't be for sale, I'd rather have it in my home. So we paskin like that, Rav Huna. Tol Yuhu V'Zovin, if they pressured me to sell it, so it's valid. So the way we paskin, the Gemara says, so the Mishnah is understandable. Why, if the husband is pressured by the Bezdin, they beat him up, they threaten to kill him, unless he gives his wife a get, because he's being unfair. So the Gemara says, then we understand why the get is good. It's not called the get Bal Korcho, because he doesn't have to spend money on the wife, and he doesn't get the services. So he'll get a maid, or he'll get another wife. Okay, so he'll make the deal with someone else. But the Gemara says, what if you don't accept his opinion? What if you don't hold like Rav Huna, Tal Yuhu V'Zovin, Zvina Zvina, that if they pressured, if they threaten to kill him unless he sells the Rembrandt, so if you hold not like Rav Huna that the sale is not valid, we pass on the sale is valid. If you hold it's not valid, so how is the good over here by the get? So then the Gemara gives an alternate shot. So the Gemara says, no, deep down in everyone's heart, all the Jewish people have a Abba Hamasuteris, have a hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they want to do all the mitzvahs, and they want to listen to what the Rabbanim tell them. And the fellow refuses to listen to the Rabbanim, that's his pseudo-personality. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to present this from the Rambam. That's not his real self. His true self really does want to do mitzvahs, wants to listen to the Rabbanim. And then when the Bezdin beats him up, or they get the Goyim to beat him up, and then he finally says, Reitz Ani, so that's the true Ani. His true self is now coming out, and now he says, I really want to give the get. So that's the famous problem with the Rambam. The Rambam quotes this whole explanation, that the true self really wants to give the get, and everybody wants to do Ratzon HaChachamim. What did the Rambam need the whole rhetoric for? The Rambam paskins Tal Yuhu V'Zovin is good. So the Gemara says, if you hold like Rav Huna, Tell you, Zabin is good. If to hold a gun to my head and threaten to kill me unless I sell my Rembrandt, so the din is that that's good. So the Gemara says that the get doesn't force him to give the get is understandable. You don't need the other explanation. The Gemara only needed the other explanation if you reject Rav Huna. If you all tell you, Vizavin is no good, but here, L'chol HaDeis, it's good because everybody, the true stuff, really wants to listen to the Chacham. So that's a famous problem with the Rambam. Why the Rambam Paskins tell you, Vizavin is good. So what did he need this whole explanation, the famous explanation, the end of Perek Beis and Hilchas Gerish? But the Gemara explains that. The Gemara works on that in Bava Basra and Cheskes about them. Why is it good? Why isn't it a get Bal Korach?
So when is this explanation?
No, if the husband is really being mean to the wife, let's say today, you have a lot of cases, the husband is not living with the wife, he's not supporting the wife, and he doesn't let her remarry. So she's neither here nor there. She doesn't have the husband, and she doesn't have the ability to marry someone else. So that's absolutely unfair. So when the husband is absolutely being mean and unfair to the wife, then there's no question about it. Then the bezdin is supposed to beat him up. Then you koyfal aget. Or let's say a kohen is married to a grusha, not allowed to. A yisrael is married to a mamzeres, not allowed to live with the mamzeres. So then the gemara says no question about it. Bezdin will beat him up. Either he'll give the get or he's going to drop dead. But they're going to see to it that he's not going to remain living with the grusha. But let's say the couple is living together, and the wife is unhappy in their marriage, but the husband says, "I'm a good husband, so I pick on my nose in public." Or whatever. He does something that rubs it. He has a taina. So he says, "But I'm the father of all the children, and I make a parnas, and I give you the money, I come every home. I come home all the time. I'm a good husband." And she wants to get rid of him. So from his perspective, he's not being mean. She's not happily married. So there, you can talk to the husband. You can try to convince him that it's not right that he should give the wife a get if she's not happy. She says, "Moisalai, I don't want to live with him." So then, that's a big machlok. There's that two girsas in the Gemara in Ksubis. So the Ga'inim had a girsa. The Rama quotes the Ga'inim had a girsa when a couple is married and the wife says, "Moisalai, I can't stand the husband." They see their Mishnah is about a woman who's a Maredis. A couple is married, and the wife is angry at her husband about some issue or another, so she says she's not going to go to Mikvin, do me something. Or she's not going to cook the food. Either Maredis from Tashmish or Maredis from taking care of the house. So then the Mishnah says, but she likes her husband. She doesn't want to get divorced. She likes her husband, but she wants him to listen to her more. He doesn't listen to her, whatever. She wants to get her way, so she's going to show him who's boss, so she's not going to go to mikveh. So she's torturing him. So then the Mishnah says, you penalize the woman. The woman is a maredis, and you deduct from her ksuba, depending on how many weeks she's maredis against her husband. That's not the right way to get things done. But what happens? Not the woman is maredis. She says, "I can't stand my husband." And she gives a whole explanation why she can't stand him. So sometimes we will be concerned, she probably fell in love with someone else, that she's looking at, she's interested in someone else. But if it doesn't seem that she's interested in someone else, she just says, "I can't stand the husband," she explains why. And the Rabbanim can see that she's hatataina. So that's called moyes alai. I can't stand him anymore. That's not the same as maredis. So the old girsa, the girsa sagadim in the Gemara was that when a woman says moyes alai, so you kaife the husband to give again. And the Rabbi Natam doesn't like that gear, so he says, we don't follow that shita. You're not koy for the husband. You don't force the husband to give a get. You koy for him, you can talk to him. The Gemara says, sometimes you koy for bishoite, with whips, avi yisar eschem bashotim. Sometimes Bezin beats the guy up with a whip, with a stick, and sometimes you have kfiya bidvarim. That's what Taisus says here. And the word kfiya sometimes applies to kfiya bidvarim. The Bezin should try to convince the husband that he should give his wife a get. But in such a case, and the husband is not really being unreasonable to the wife, he's giving her the paychecks, he's living with the wife, he's a decent guy. Is he hot taina? She has some taina against the husband. So you wouldn't be koy for the husband to give a get. If the husband is unreasonably unfair to the wife, like today, most of the case, the husband and wife living in two different cities, he's not giving any child support and he's not supporting the wife. And he just mean. He doesn't want to live with the wife. A lot of times they already have a civil divorce, in the middle of a civil divorce. So what does he want? So give the get already. What are you holding out just to pining the girl? So that's disgusting. So then the din is that business kaifa. Then you kaifa, you beat him up. In America, you can't do it. There's a separation of church and state. And they'll put you in prison if you beat the guy up to force him to give a get. So Tysus was bothered with this kasha. This is a famous kasha all the Rishonim work on. How come the Gemara says in Bovibasa Daf Chesam and Beis, the Rav was kaifer Rab Nosam Barami to give more tzedakah? If tzedakah says in Chumash, ki beglal adob azay yirachuch Hashem alakecho, so tzedakah should be considered like a kibur aviyem, should be considered like a mitzvah sasei, shematnus chore betzido. So the matnus chore itself should be enough to encourage people to do the mitzvah. Bezen shouldn't have to be kaifer. So the first answer Tosfos says, enachinami, Rabbi Nitam says, Rav wouldn't be kaifer. You're not supposed to be kaifer to give tzedakah. He explained to him. He gave a musar that you should give more. The Od, Tosfos gives another teretz. This cloud, the din, haniglas lonol v'nein adolam la'asos, to force people, as kaldir ha'terezos, to be kaifer, you're kaifer al mitzvah sese, you're kaifer al mitzvah sese. A person is doing an avera, so you have to be kaifer for him to stop doing the avera. A person doesn't want to sit in sukkah, he doesn't want to eat matzah, so you have to be kaifer for him to do the mitzvah satera. So Tosfos claims that the Bezdin's authority to be kaifer is more serious if the fellow is doing an avera, to be kaifer for him to stop doing the avera. That's more important than to be kaifer for all our mitzvahs. So the Rabbin and Tam's second answer is that when do you say, kol mitzvah saseh, if there's a mitzvah saseh, where the Torah promises a reward, like kibud aviyem is a mitzvah saseh, and it says leman yarichon yamecha, so the bezin is not kaifer. But by tzedakah, in addition to the mitzvah saseh of pesach tiftach, there's also a lois saseh. Losikpas, how does it say? Losikpas es yotcha, losametz es levavcha. There are lavim involved. If a person doesn't give tzedakah, he doesn't give the correct amount of tzedakah, not only has he not fulfilled the mitzvah saseh, his zayvan aloy saseh as well. So Tosfos is mechadish that aloy saseh, even matan tzchor b'tzida, bezin should be kaifer. Only on a mitzvah saseh, shematan tzchor b'tzida, that they're not kaifer. The significance of bezin being kaifer ala mitzvahs is more so by lavim than by yesim. These are the two answers that this Tosfos gives. Other Rishonim give other answers. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the name of his grandfather Rav Chaim another answer on Tosfos Kasha. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said that when do you say that Bezdin is not kaifer if it's a mitzvah sesei, shematan tzchor b'tzido, that's if the Bezdin is kaifer you to fulfill your mitzvah. But here this is the mitzvah of the Bezdin. The Pasuk says, the Gemara in Bava Basra learns that from Sukkim, Motzes v'sech tishma v'yosisa kasher nadakta l'Hashem l'kecha nidov v'kasher dibarta b'ficha. The Pasuk talks about nidrei mitzvah that people should give tzedakah. So the Gemara says v'yosisa. V'yosisa doesn't only mean you should do the mitzvah. V'yosisa means asar lebezen sheyasucha. Bezen should force you to do the mitzvahs. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said that Bezdin is kaifa ala tzedakah, not to force you to fulfill your mitzvah. If you're not eating sukkah, you're not putting on tefillin, you're not putting on tzitzis, that's to be kosher for you to do your mitzvah. But here, this is a mitzvah hamutelas ala kohol, ala tzibur, this is a mitzvah on the bezin. The bezin should organize that tzedakah should be done in a communal fashion. That there are two levels of the chiyuv tzedakah. There's a chiyuv al kayochid v'yochid, every yochid has to give tzedakah. Then there's a chayvus hatzibur. The tzibur has a community, has to give tzedakah. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Rambam says like this, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Matnas Anim, where he has all the dinim of tzedakah, he writes a line, me'olam lo shamayna, we never heard of any Jewish community where there's no kupa shel tzedakah. Every community has a public fund. The shul has a tzedakah fund. It's not sufficient that all the people are bali tzedakah and the mishalochim go from home to home and they collect from all of the yechidim. Tzedakah has to be given on an individual basis and tzedakah has to be given on a communal basis. So the requirement of the bezin mitzvah sechatishma v'yasisa asar lebezin sheyasucha, the bezin should force the people to give tzedakah, that's bezin's mitzvah. Bezin has to see to it that the tzedakah is given on a communal level. Yeah, how did the Gemara know that that's so, that the tzedakah has two levels? So Rav Soloveitchik said the Gemara learns that. The Gemara in Ksuba says regarding tzedakah, you have to give de machsara asher yechsalo. You have to give to the poor man whatever he's missing, whatever he needs. So the Gemara says, what if the fellow used to be very wealthy and he used to ride in a Rolls Royce, a very expensive automobile, and now Nebuch is an ani, he has no money, so we have to put him back on his feet. So the Gemara says, afil eved loritz lefonov. If he was used to having a servant take care of all of his needs, and he used to drive in a very expensive automobile, so you have an obligation to give him the ritzi, the expensive automobile. So Rav Soloveitchik taught us a double poshut, that that obligation to give him day machzor sheyachsolo, to give him sus lirkav all of the eved loritz lefanov, and to give him the Rolls Royce, all of that, that's only a chayves hatzibu. He didn't think that that's a chayves hayachid. Chayves hayachid is to give tzedakah to anim, that they shouldn't be poor. But to put him back in the state that they were before, he thought that's only a chayves hatzibu. So you see from the Chumash itself that there's a chayves hayachid and a chayves hatzibu. Rav Soloveitchik suggested this was not for Rav Chaim. He suggested maybe you have such a similar din by Nicham Avelim, that when someone is sitting shivas, all the people in the community go to be Menachem Avel on an individual basis. And then in the cemetery, right after the kvur, you do a shura. The Gemara shura means that our practice is we have the Menachemim stand up in two lines, and Avelim walk in the middle. And we learned Sanhedrin years ago, so in the second parak in Sanhedrin says that the minig used to be fakert, that the Avelim would stand still and the Menachemim would walk by, one way or the other. So the Gemara says, "Ein shura p'chusa me'asora." You only have a shura, you only have that formal, that formality of Nicham Avelim, if you have 10 people to be Menachem Avel, if you have a tzibur. If you have less than a minion at the cemetery, you can have many Avelim. If you don't have 10 Menachemim, then you don't organize a shura. Why? Because that's Nicham Avelim at tzibur. You have to have Nicham Avelim be yochid, Nicham Avelim at tzibur. So Rav Soloveitchik, what? I think they can. Yeah, that's not a davish b'kedusha. You don't include women. That's not a davish b'kedusha. Yeah. So the Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe it's a din in all mitzvahs shebinadam lachaveira. It's a din in tzedakin. It's a din in nicham avel. Maybe it's a din in all mitzvahs shebinadam lachaveira that it has to be done on two levels, on an individual level and on a communal level. So that was the teres that he said b'shem Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that the Bezdin's, the din that Bezin should force people to give tzedakah is not really kaifin ala mitzvah. They're not kaifin the other fellow to do. Rava was not forcing Rav Nosson Barami to do his mitzvah of tzedakah. That was Rava's obligation, that the tzibur should be in fulfillment of their mitzvah, that we're giving tzedakah properly, giving the right amount of tzedakah on a communal level. Other Rishonim give other answers. The Shitim Chubetzis in Bava Basra gives another answer that's really hotly debated issue in the Ksais HaChayshin and other Svarim. Let's say a person owes money and he doesn't want to pay. So Bezin forecloses on his property. He owes $100 million. So Bezin forecloses, they take the money and they pay the malva. So is that Kaifin ala mitzvah? So the Gemara says that there's a machloikas. If I borrowed money, I borrowed $100, I have to give it back. So there's a machlekes in the Gemara whether shibud deraisa, shibud lav deraisa. So we usually talk about shibud nechosim, whether shibud nechosim is deraisa derabanan. The ability of the malvah to collect from the lekuchas, or the ability of the malvah to collect from the yorshim, if the leiva dies, so that's a question whether shibud deraisa, shibud lav deraisa. What about collecting from the leiva himself, shibud aguf? I lent money to the leiva, what about that? So of course that's their eyes. Shibud aguf, of course, is their eyes. So in the Gemara, that's the Shach points out. In the Gemara, that's a machloikis. There's one opinion that even shibud aguf is lav their eyes. So that's ridiculous. I mean, you borrow money, you don't have to pay it back. So what does it mean to borrow money? The Gemara says, no, priyas bal chayv is a mitzvah. It's a religious ritual. It's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, and if the guy says, I'm not Orthodox, the leiva borrowed $1 million, I'm not religious, I don't keep mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, I don't care. Kaifin ala mitzvahs. If he doesn't want to eat matzah, we beat him up. If he doesn't want to sit in the sukkah, we beat him up. So he doesn't want to do the mitzvah, so we beat him up. We force him to do the mitzvah. So the Shach points out, it's based on Gemara. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that shibud aguf, that is shibud, is their isa. So the Bezdin's ability to force the loivin to pay the money is not because he kaif ala mitzvahs. Because gviya shibudim, he owes the money, so you collect. So that's what some Rishonim answer in the Shitim Kubet says. When a person is obligated to give tzedakah, that's a religious ritual. You have to lay tefillin, and you have to have a mezuzah, and you have to give tzedakah. Or is that a shibud? The Torah imposed a shibud mamon on me. I am mechuyev to give money to share part of my wealth. I'm not mechuyev to give everything away. I'm mechuyev to share a certain percentage of my wealth with the poor people. So it could be that that's a shibud, and this is gviyas shibudim. It's not kfiya. Chof pe yud yud hei kfiya. Koifer ala mitzvah. So koifer ala mitzvah doesn't apply in tzedakah because it's matan schar b'tzida. But gviyas shibudim, you collect in the shibud, that does apply. So the shitim kubetzes gives that answer. And the Karen Oren in Saita, in the end of Saita, when we were learning Saita, I think I mentioned it then. The Gemara says, Koifin Aleviya. If a person leaves my home and is going to travel on a highway, the Gemara says, I'm chayiv to be malavehem part of the way. After he's gone to Philadelphia. I'm chayiv to go with him all the way to Philadelphia, but a little bit I have to be malavehem. The Gemara says, if I don't want to, you're Koifin Aleviya. So the Karen Oren, on that Gemara, the end of Saita, talks about that. You kaif alaviyah, that's like kaif in alatzdoke. And he writes that svara, like the Shittim Kubetzes, that these mitzvahs are gmilas chasodim and tzedakah and so on, these are shibudim. It's like I owe a debt to the other person. So it's not that Bezdin is kaif for me to do my mitzvah, they're gaif for the shibudim. It's a shibud bin adam lachaver that I owe. So this is a big discussion in Achrenim. Is that really so? It's on two levels, is it so? Let's say a person took a neder. He took a pledge to give a certain organization $1,000. So a neder is a mitzvah. You have to observe the neder. That's because of the mitzvah. You say no. Just like by Hegdish, Amiroso Lagavai Kim Siroso Lahedidami, if a person pledges to give to Hegdish, so the Mishnah says in Kiddushin, you don't need a kinyan. Amirosoi. He takes a neder, that's it. That creates Kim Siroso Lahedid. If you would give something to a boss of a dom, he would be kinder. So if you pledge to give the tzedakah, everything is chal like that. A kinyan is chal. So that's a big machlokes, and that was a big machlokes in the 1500s between Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Ramot. They lived in two different countries. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Tzvas in Eretz Yisrael, and the Ramot lived in Krakow in Poland, but they corresponded about this. Ma'aseh Shohei was, it happens all the time. A person pledges to give a large amount to tzedakah, and then he dies before he has a chance to give the money to tzedakah. So if you say that the obligation to pay up the money is because you have a mitzvah, let's say he didn't like tefillin that day, there's nothing you can do after the father died. You can't have him fulfill a mitzvah. Gishtarben, so he can't fulfill a mitzvah.
The children have not...
That's a shaila. But if you say, Amirasa Lagavaya applies, Amirasa Lagavaya means the Hegdish. So if you say Amirasa Lagavaya even applies to tzedakah, so then because he took a pledge, it's a shibud. He owes, so when he dies, he collects from the Yorshim. He dies, he collects from the Yorshim. This was a shaila just a couple of years ago. A wealthy balabos from South America took a pledge, took a pledge to give up $100,000 to the local yeshiva and gestorb afterwards. He never had a chance to give the money. And he died, and he had two children. He had a son and a daughter. So the son lived there in Argentina, I think. He was not yet observant. He's not interested. And the daughter lives in the New York area, and she's a very from a woman. Her husband learns in the yeshiva, and her son's learning in the yeshiva. Her husband learns with his son in the yeshiva. He's a big doctor. So they had the shaila. Strictly speaking, the son gets the whole Yerusha. If a man dies, he leaves a son and a daughter, so the son gets the whole Yerusha. But the son didn't know what it says in the Chumash. So out of his own, he decided he's going to divide the Yerusha 50-50 with the sister. So the shaila was, the father had pledged to give $100,000. The son wasn't going to give a penny. He knew what the father took. He wasn't interested in giving any money. So the shaila is, should the daughter give $100,000 from her half of the Yerusha? Maybe she should give $50,000, half and half. Maybe she should give 50, and the brother does want to give, that's his problem. Or maybe not mechuyev at all. Maybe he's not mechuyev at all. Maybe since the father died, there's no shiva in the chasim at all. Or even if there is a shiva in the chasim, strictly speaking, the son yashins everything. So the shiva in the chasim is on the son. The son wasn't mechuyev to give anything to the sister. He decided... he wants to give half, so he's getting out of the goodness of his heart. So maybe there's no shibin chasman, whatever he gives to the sister. So this was the shayla that they had. So they sent the shayla to Rabbi Shav Weiss. So he wrote a chiva about it. It's a new sefer that he just printed. He just put out his chivas, Rabbi Shav Weiss. So he wrote that it's a machlokes, the Ramah and the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Kara. And he said, Ashkenazim, follow the Ramah. The Ramah says, you don't say Amirasa Lagavaya by tzedakah. So therefore, the Yerushim are not mechuyev to give. And many Achrayim don't agree with that. Many Achrayim say, even though that's what it says in the Tshuva Saramah, but that's not the way it's usually assumed. Usually assumed that there is Amiras al-Gabay, like Rabbi Yosef Karas Tshuva. Usually assumed not like that Ramah. Ramah and Shulchan Aruch also seems to assume that you do say Amiras al-Gabay by Tzedakah. Anyway, that was the Shaila. So one Shaila is, if a person pledges to give money to Tzedakah, does that create shibudim, or is that only a mitzvah? Then there's another shaila. He doesn't pledge anything, but he's a cheap fellow. He's not giving the right amount. He should really give for his income. This Rav Nosson Barami, he should really give $400 more. So do you say, not on nidrei tzedakah, do you say on the basic tzedakah, is that a shibud bin adam machaber, or no? That tzedakah is a mitzvah. So these are two different shailas. You could distinguish. You could say that a neder, if a person takes a neder, amiras al gavaya, that's a shibud. But if he didn't take a neder, maybe that's not a shibud. He could say fakir. If he took a neder, that's only a mitzvah. And the amount that he's not giving the proper amount, he can say that's a shibud. So each one is a machlekes and achrenim.
It could be that it's a community effort. They taxed each balabas according. In Iran, they had that. There was a community. They would tax these people. It had nothing to do with. So therefore, it's an obligation that
in the kehila decides.
That's right. That's
that's another din. That's another din. The kehila can decide shutfim. All the people who live in the community have certain needs.
In fact, it depends how long he lives there and so forth.
Right. So we have lots in America. We live in New York, so we have many needs. So we need the fire department, our police department, we have water purification, we have the garbage collection, we have the mail delivery. So some of the needs are taken care of by the federal government, some of them taken care of by the state government, some of them taken care of by the municipal government. So we don't make a separate collection to pay for the mail delivery. We don't make a separate collection. If you would have a separate collection to pay for the schools, so all the religious Jews say, I don't use the public schools, so I don't have to pay for that. But if then we would have 1,001 collections of tax, a separate tax for the schools, and a separate tax for the water, and a separate tax for the fire department, a separate tax for the police. You can't manage like that. So we have one tax, we pay three taxes. We pay federal tax, state tax, and municipal tax. So we all have a din of shutfim, but again, to all of the needs that we share in common. Certain things we share in common with the whole country, the mail delivery with the army, with the navy, and so on. And certain things we share in common with the people who live in the same state, the highways and so on, the forests. And certain things we share in common with shutfim, with the people who live in the same city. So we share in common all of these needs. So we all have a din of shutfim. And the shutfim amachuyev. If the roiv wants something, even though the miyut doesn't want it, so the miyut has to go along with the roiv. Yes, a bayas, it could be, if the community decided this is how much money we have to give for tzedakah, this is how much we need, so that's b'torah shutfim, they can be mechayiv each other to give.
Rabbi, in this whole discussion about tzedakah, levels of tzedakah, and about rubber, that's under meiser or above meiser?
The Gemara never says boo about meiser. There is no Gemara about meiser. Tosfos and Tainis, in the first parak, I think Daf Yud, something like that, Tosfos quotes a sifrei on the pasuk in Re'ei, aser ta'aseh kol tvoah zarecha, so the kefa loshen implies you should give not only meiser on what the peiros that grow in Eretz Yisrael, you should give meiser on your earnings, meiser k'sofen. So there are three, but in the Gemara never mentioned at all. Bavli, Rishonim never mentioned, it's only in that Sifre. So sometimes drushas in the Sifre are real drushas, they're Reise, and very often they're only asmachtas, they're abundance. So here there's a three-way machlokes that's quoted on the bottom of the page in Yeruday, the Pischa Tshuva quotes it. So some Rishonim and Achrenim held that it's a real drushik mur, it's a real din der Reise, you're obligated to give Maisa itself. Most assume that that's not so.
So how did Rava determine how much Rabbasu should have?
He was making much more. He wasn't even giving way anywhere near Maisa. He was making much more money and was giving so little. He was cheap.
So he must have had some fresh benchmark in his mind that he wasn't beating.
Right. We assume the accepted opinion for sure, Maisa, so we don't hold that as the Raisa. Most assume that it's not even the Rabbanan, it's a Midas Chasidus. It's a recommended Midas Chasidus if a person can afford it. Some people can't even afford to give a Maisa Ksof. They just barely make ends meet. Nishmachui, if you can't afford, you can't afford. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, in the first daf, not far from Daf Ches, The Gemara said there's a minimum amount of tzedakah that every person has to give once a year, every year. If he doesn't give that, it's just not yotze the mitzvah of tzedakah. Even poor people should give. Gemara said, how much is that? So the Gemara says, shlishis hashekel. The Gemara dug up a pasuk, and when they came back and they built the bayis sheni, so they accepted upon themselves that everyone's going to give a minimum of shlishis hashekel every year. So the Gemara said, the Shulchan Aruch said, if you don't give a shlishis hashekel every year, you're not yotze the mitzvah. The Shach lived in Vilna in the 1600s. So he writes, they had a minig in Vilna that the Gabbai went around with the Pushka only twice a week on Monday and Thursday. He never knew why. Why up Monday and Thursday? Mom was sugal to give tzedakah. So he was guessing. So he thought maybe like this. If every Monday and Thursday he'll give the smallest coin that they had at that time, a penny, whatever, it'll come out to be slightly more than a shlishis hashekel. And that's the minimum that you have to give. If you don't give a shlishis hashekel per year, so the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Gemara, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So he was guessing, he thought maybe that's the reason, that you collect twice a week. So it'll come out to be slightly more than shlishis hashekel. Anyway, this is a famous topic, this Tosfos topic. How can it be that Rava was kofer Rav Nosson bar Ami to give tzedakah if it's, it should be a mitzvah saseh? That's their kasha.
The
Rebbeinu
Tam giving both tirutzim?
Yeah, he's why giving different.
What do you do?
He's not sure what the answer is. He's suggesting two different possibilities. And the other Rishani give other suggestions, yeah.
But, Chakra, are there any halachas about who can collect tzedakah? Let's say somebody makes, $30,000 a year or whatever.
Yeah.
Is
what?
Is there a threshold so you can collect tzedakah? How rich can you be and still...
Oh, to accept. To accept tzedakah. Yeah, you have to be a nitzrach. Yeah.
Or pay, Mishnah Peah says at the end. Do you have money for 2 meals or 3 meals?
Yeah. A person is considered an oni. When do you have the right to take leket shikram peah? Am I saying you have to be an oni? Who's called an oni? So the oni is one... If a person has a steady income, he has a job, and every week he gets a salary, and he makes ends meet. Salpidin, even though he's penniless, he doesn't have a penny in the bank, but he has a steady income, so he's called an usher. Or if the fellow has no job, he's unemployed, but he has Masayim Zuz in the bank. He has in his savings Masayim Zuz. What is Masayim Zuz? So the Rishalmi explains, Masayim Zuz is 50 shkolim. Masayim Zuz is the amount of money in the days of the Tanoim that you would need to live on for a year. Today, Masayim Zuz is peanuts. It's hardly anything. But in the days of the Tanoim, Masayim Zuz would be... Masayim Zuz is 50 shkolim, is 10 times Pidyon HaBen. How much did people give for Pidyon HaBen? Pidyon HaBen you have to give, make the hedge. Pidyon HaBen you have to give the value of 96 grams of pure silver, and the minig is you give 100 grams. Lamashen Zog, who knows... 100 grams of pure silver. How much does it sell for today? $100? Silver went up. Maybe $100. Maybe a little over $105, $110. $110 on his own. Pidyon HaBen. How much do you give for Pidyon HaBen? So you're supposed to give 100. Meaning is you give... Ikra didn't give 96 grams. Meaning is you give 100 grams. So Lama Shang Zog, $110. So 50... Masayim Zuz is 10 times Pidyon HaBen. 50 shkolim is 10 times 5 shkolim. So instead of $110, it's $1,100. So you can live on 1 year, $1,100. It's nothing. You can't live 1 week. You can barely live a week on $1,100. But that's the number Masayim Zuz was chosen, the Yerushalmi says, because that's how much you need to live for 1 week. My son-in-law told me, one of my sons-in-law learned in Merkaz Haraf. So he said they once asked Rabbi Avram Shapiro about the Aniyim in Yerushalayim who come every day, they come collecting, they go, they have a whole route, they go here, they go there, they have a whole system. So they asked Rabbi Avram, are they mechuyev to give them every day? So Rabbi Avram said, they have a steady income. They don't have a din of an ani. What's that din for an anasha? They have a steady income. They have a whole system worked out. So they don't have a din of an ani. He had a very good sense of humor. Rabbi Avram was a big kibbutz.
Somebody have a steady income like 91 or so a year?
Not a nani. Yeah. He has a steady income, and every week, the koshi, he makes ends meet, al pidin, that's called an osher. And if he doesn't have a steady income, sometimes he has a job, sometimes he doesn't have a job, or he's unemployed, So then it depends how much money does he have in savings. The kol zman he has, masayim zuz means he has enough to live on for 1 year, so then he's called an asher. If he doesn't have that, then he's called an ani. Then there's another din.
It's something very strange, very, very powerful now. But just either you're an ani or an asher, you're nowhere in between.
Right?
That's
right. Benegeh et leket shikra peya. And maiserani, you have to be an ani. Right. There's a din there. A person needs money to, has to send his children to yeshiva. Today, people have more, we spend more money. We have more obligations. Yeah. Today, everything is different.
On an eve because of
okay.
What's, yes. What's an Evyon? Evyon is even lower than an Ani, right?
Yeah.
So how much is an
I don't think there's a halachic. The Gemara in Bava Metzia talks sometimes about Al Pidin, the difference between Ani and Evyon. I don't know. The Gemara does. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The Gemara says there are differences. The Gemara doesn't give you what's the definition.
If somebody has 199
zuz
on his back, you give
him
zuz. So
you take him out of that. Rishis. The Mishnah says that's a rishis. The guy has 199 zuz, so he's an ani. So he has a right to go take leket shikhapeya, tons of it. So I give him, I put $1 in his pocket, I just made him an asher. Now he's not allowed to take anything. So the Mishnah says that that's a rishis. You're not allowed to give him $1. Don't give him anything. Don't do him any favor. Don't give him anything. So he'll be able to take in one shot a lot of matan sanim. Yeah. Okay, so this is a famous topic. This tastes a famous topic.
But in the United States, you have a steady income from welfare.
Okay. Okay.
So the major no anim.
Could be. Could be. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the Gemara tells a story. Abai and Rav Safra lived in Bovil. And Rav Safra apparently had a little money, so every so often he would visit Eretz Yisrael. So Amalei Abai le Rav Safra, he tells him, Kisalkes lahasam, the next time you plan to go to Eretz Yisrael, do me a favor, di minayhu, ask the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, kavda ma'atun bay. How do you deal with liver? What's the story with liver? Tosis, shayla with blood. How do you deal with the liver? How do you remove the blood? Do you have to remove the blood? What's the din? So, what's the background of the shayla? So Tosis gives a whole fantastic chiddush. Kavda mayatin bay. So first, the Rabbeinu Tam claims liver is the same as any other flesh. If you salt the liver and you let it sit in the salt long enough and you remove all the blood, so there's no problem, like any other flesh. We don't accept that, Rabbeinu Tam. We hold you can either succeed in removing the blood by salting the flesh, and then you have to rinse off the flesh, and there shouldn't be any blood on the surface. And then after you rinse it off, you have to wait till it dries off a little bit. A lot of times in the butcher shops years ago at home, and now in the butcher shop, a lot of time they rinse off the flesh, they let it soak for an hour, then they take it out, and right away they pour a ton of salt on top. So it's an Shulchan Aruch das Teignish. If you're going to pour the salt on when it's still sopping wet, so the liquid will dissolve the salt. The salt only removes the blood if you have crystals of salt, not if it's liquid salt. So you have to wait till it dries off a little bit. You don't wait an hour till it dries off. You wait a couple of minutes till the water on the surface dries off, and then you throw on the salt. So then you leave the salt for a while. It removes all of the blood. It doesn't really remove all the blood. It's going to be full of blood. Let's say you have a piece of meat this size. 2 feet by 2 feet, a cube. Then you're going to salt it on the outside. The salt is not going to get out the blood from the inside, but kach nemar halacha, that's the din. Or even if you have a tiny little piece of meat, the salt really removes all of the blood. Of course, there's going to be blood remaining behind in the capillaries, but that's kach nemar halacha. The blood that comes out through salting is labeled as dam. Whatever blood remains behind after salting is called moyel habasa. That's the juice of the flesh. That's the din. You never succeed in getting all the dam out. There's always going to be tons of dam in the capillary. That's the din. Everything is called moel habosa. Tosis writes on in the first perek. Tosis repeats it here also. In the first perek, Tosis proves that dam evarim shelo pireish is muta. Let's say you have a raw piece of flesh. Yeah, this is a famous Tosis quoted in the Yeridaya. And Yudalad Aman Aleph in Chulin. Yudalad Aman Aleph. The Gemara says, "Ashechet b'Shabbos." There's a chayla misukan, and he needs flesh on Shabbos. So rather than give him the vela, so the Gemara said, "We'll shecht a chicken, we'll shecht an animal." So is a healthy person allowed to eat? Or let's say someone was Machal Shabbos, Shegig, Bemezer, whatever, somebody shechted an animal of Shabbos. So are you allowed to eat the flesh on Shabbos? The Gemara has a whole discussion. So they said, what do you mean? You're not allowed to salt the flesh on Shabbos, that's a malacha. So I can eat the flesh if you don't salt it. That's Tosis Kashman. So Tosis says the answer. V'yishleim one answer. They say Nami below Malicha Nami Shari Yibumtzu. You're allowed to chew raw meat. Afgav Tika La Bedama Nivla Beivorim. Animil Hechad the Pirish Lachutz. Cause Man Shalav Pirish Muta. And Tosis brings Raya after Raya. Dami Beivorim Shalav Pirish. If you have a raw piece of flesh, so usually when you cut the flesh, it is going to be because you have the pressure of the knife. So you're going to have blood on the surface, on all sides. Let's say you rinse off the surface of the piece of meat, and you're going to eat it the way it is, raw meat. So Tosha says there's no iser on the dam. Dam evarim shalo pirish is moil abasar. Only when moil abasar means it's the juice of the meat. It only is considered dam when it's pirish, when it leaves the piece of meat, it goes out. Then even if it goes back in, let's say you have a raw piece of meat and you cook it in a pot of water. So the dam goes out into the water, then it's going to go back into the piece of meat. So that's called dam evarim shapirish. But if you have a raw piece of meat, you can eat it, draw your hake, as long as you wash off the surface, because the dam on the surface, that's called dam shapirish. If they rinse off the surface, no dam shapirish. So the dam evarim shalot pirish is mutter. That's the premise of the Gemara here. So we usually assume that there are two ways you can succeed in removing the dam, in one of two ways. Either you salt the flesh, or a real malicha, you salt it a lot, or you broil the flesh. So strictly speaking, we hold when you broil the flesh, you don't have to put any salt at all. The Rambam doesn't say like that, so we're machmer a little bit for Naram, so you do malicha muetis. But strictly speaking, remember when I was in the rabbinate for a short period of time, for a few years, so that was the first shaila that I got. The first Shabbos that I was there in Paramus, so Balabasta called me up, she broiled her liver, and she forgot, she's pretty sure she forgot to put salt on the liver. So what's the din? So that was an easy shaila. That was one of the easier shailas that I had. So that's the halacha, that we have a chumrah to do malicha muetis when you broil flesh or you broil liver, but that's not ma'akeh b'rievet. If you broil the liver or the flesh without salting it, that's okay. So let's say if you salted the flesh, then we assume all adam left. All the dam didn't leave, it's not true. All the dam that left is dam. Whatever remained behind after malicha is called moil habasa, that's okay. So then you can take that piece of flesh and now cook it in a soup. The rest of the dam is going to go out, going to go back in. That's not a problem. Since I salted it, I did what I was supposed to do. So the dam that remains behind is labeled as moil habasa in shayin. So moil habasa is mutter. When it goes out, comes back in, that's not a problem. And the same thing, let's say if you broil the piece of meat or you broil the piece of liver, we assume that broiling will remove all of the dam that has to be removed. Whatever dam will remain behind won't be a problem. It'll be dam. It's moil habasar, it's labeled as. If you broil the meat and afterwards you rinse off all the dam that came out, and then you want to reheat the meat, let's say you want to cook the meat in soup, so I'll take this piece of meat that was broiled and I'm going to put it in soup now. So the rest of the dam is going to go out. There's always a lot of dam left behind. The rest of the dam is going to go out into the soup and come back in. So that's mutter. If I did what I was supposed to do, either I salted it or I broiled it, whatever dam remains behind is always a ton of dam. Whatever dam remains behind is ma'al ha-basar, and that's not a problem. So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natam, liver is the same as the rest of the behemah. If you salt it, always problem. So we don't accept that, Rabbi Natam. We assume that the liver has ribui ha-dam. Rabbi Natam uses a lotion. The kovid is kul adam. The kovid is kul adam. That's the lotion of Tosfos. Right. That's how the Gemara says later. When you want to broil the liver, so you should cut a chest of the erev and broil it, so all of the dam will fall down.
The person has to have a salt-free diet.
Yeah. No, so either you broil the flesh all the time, or you can take a big piece of flesh like this, salt it around the outside, and then take the part of flesh from the inside. The blood, the salt, will absolutely not affect the inside part in a big piece of flesh. Or there are certain kinds of salt that are not problematic for him. You can get a different kind of salt. There are different kinds of salt that will not serve as a problem. Right. So Rabbi Natam has a lot of chidushim here in Tosfos. So one chidush we don't accept is, he thinks that if you salt the liver, it's the same as salting anything else, and no problem. So that we don't follow that. We insist you have to dafka broil it. Then he has. Pardon me? Yeah, that's a big machlekes, whether sugar is the same as salt, but again, to removing the blood from the flesh. Yeah. That was a big machlekes. The Nesivis, the one who wrote the Nesivis HaMishpat, had a son-in-law who was the Rav in Sochachov, the same time that the Abdenezer was the Rebbe, Sochachov a Rebbe. So Maharoch, Rabbi Avraham HaKoyen, he was a Chassidishe. The father-in-law, the Nesivis, was a Shtarka Misnagid. And his punishment was that he had a son-in-law, like Rabbi Kivega was a Yeke. Rabbi Kivega was a Shtarka Misnagid. He was also punished. He had a son-in-law who was a Chassidishe, Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum. Then he had a grandson who was Chassidish Rebbe, Rabbi Leibele Eger. So these two, the Nesivis with Rabbi Kivega, they used to correspond with each other. So they shared Nebuch the same tragedy. Each one of them had a son-in-law who was Chassidish. So this, the Maharoch, he's known as the Maharoch. He was Chassidish. And when the Gerer Rebbe, the Chedush Arim, passed away, he delivered a hesped and he printed it in a separate small kuntres. The Yeshiva Library has it. It's a hardcover kuntres. I can't say hesped. I never read the hesped. So in the end, in Europe, when they used to print the Sefer, so there would always be a couple of pages left blank at the end, so the Mechaber of the Sefer would always write, Kedei Shalo Lehotzi Hanayor Cholok, not to waste blank pages, so he'll add some Shtiklach Torah at the end. So that's what he did. The son-in-law of the Nesivis writes at the end, he wrote this long hesped that he delivered when the Chedush Arim died, the Gerer Rebbe died, and he writes at the end, he's going to write some Chedushim that he has on Hilchas Avelis. So he has their Chedushim that are very questionable. So he quotes, one of them was just, always get pilpilt in the yeshiva the other day. So one of the chidushim is, he claims that he heard from his father-in-law, from the Nesivis, that the Gemara has a machlokes where they may say, Akum, I'm a tamim ba'ohel. The din is that a dead body is metamim b'maga, if you touch it, or b'masa, let's say you're wearing gloves and you push the mace, that's masa, or ba'ohel, if you're in the same room, metamim ba'ohel. So the Gemara has a machlokes, Reb Shimon bar Yochai nachachamim, where the Mesi Akama Matami Ba'oil. And it's the Machlokes of Rishonim had a Paskin. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that the proper thing is, the Mechabe and the Ramo both say the proper thing is Kohanim should not come in contact with Mesi Yakum, even Ba'oil. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the son in law claims that he heard from the father in law that the Chumran, that Mesi Yakum and Kohanim should not come in contact with Mesi Yakum, Nachrim. That only means there are three kinds of oil. One oil, I'm leaning over the mace. One oil is I'm sitting outside and they carry the mace above me. And then the third oil, the mace is over there and I'm over here. There's one roof above both of us. That's called oil hamshacha. The oil is nimshach. It extends over him and extends over me. So he claims that he heard from his father-in-law that the Kohanim have to be careful not to be metamit the mace akim boil. You shouldn't, the coin shouldn't leave over them, lean over the mace, or you shouldn't carry the mace over the body of the coin. But if it's Olam Shocha, that's okay. So many Rabbanim in Europe said he must have had wax in his ear. Absolutely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And they wrote Gans in the Svarim. I have a Sefer at home. All Sefer dedicated to disagree with what he said. And then other aspects of Tumas Kohanim. Then there's another thing that he said. He heard from the Abdenezer, quotes this one. He heard from his father-in-law, the Nesivis, that there's a mitzvah called Korban Chatakrid Melech. When you bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to put on salt. Not only on flesh, on menachas. Salting menachas is a more serious din. More chomer than salting the karbon. Has nothing to do with removing the dam. I'll call menchoscha takrid melach. He heard from his father-in-law that basically salt and sugar, the zelbazach, it just has a slightly different flavor. But basically it's the same. So you yotze the mitzvah, if you put sugar on the karbon, is also. You either put sugar or you put salt. So the Abdenezer thinks that it's absolutely ridiculous. He says that he couldn't have said that. The Nesivis couldn't have said that.
Dvash is not allowed.
Sora Dvash, right. Sora Dvash. Rashi writes that Dvash is pre, v'chol mesik is pre. Anything radic. According to Rashi, it's absolutely not correct, right? So the Avnei Nezah, they all thought that he must have misheard a lot of things from his father-in-law. Sometimes sons-in-law don't get it straight from the father-in-law. In different generations, you have that problem. Sometimes they don't say over right, yeah. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, yeah. If you would salt the flesh with sugar, does it accomplish the same result or not? Will the sugar also remove enough dam to declare whatever is left behind is okay? Pardon me?
Is this a metzias that the sugar
will... A question of metzias. It's a question of metzias, yeah.
How do you find out?
Okay, we should experiment, right?
Some siphon that is sold in the hall on Friday night because it's like a carbon yachter.
Meaning putting salt on the bread, some of the mefarshim sell Shulchan Aruch because bizbancha beis hamikdash hayakayim, the mizbech is mechaper. Bizbancha ain beis hamikdash kayim, so the Gemara's lashon is shulchano shel adam mechaper. Why mean shulchano shel adam? If you invite anim to eat by you, then you're giving tzedakah, so tzedakah tatzel mimavis. So shulchano shel adam is mechaper. So that's why they say that just like there was a mitzvah to bring a kol karbon chatakri melach, so you should put salt on the bread that you eat on the table, because bizman hazeh, bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim, shulchan shalad mechaper, so you should put salt on. So that's what some had the minig, that on Shabbos you don't salt the bread. Yeah, why not? Because on Leil Shabbos you're not allowed to be makriv karbonis from Erev Shabbos. Oil Shabbos b'Shabbata, a carbon that you brought on Shabbos, you can burn on the Mizbech on Shabbos. But a carbon that you shechted on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to be maktir on Shabbos. That's why by Marav you always say, Urach Michaper Ovan, but on Friday night, Yom Tov night, you don't say Urach. Why? So Shulchan Aruch says, we say Urach Michaper Ovan, that's keneged Haktoris Eimurim, that you always do every night. You do Haktoris Eimurim from the carbonas that were brought by Yom. But Leil Shabbos and Leil Yom Tov, you're not maktir any Eimurim. You're not allowed to be maktir Eimur Eichol. You can only be makter Shabbos in the morning when you bring a korban. Then you can be makter the emurim on the zbech on Shabbos. Even though you could have waited till matzoi Shabbos, the korbanos that you shecht on Shabbos, you can wait to burn the emurim on matzoi Shabbos. So what's the behala? What's the big rush to be makter the emurim on Shabbos? Wait till matzoi Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says. No, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Since you brought the korban today, you shechted it and you zorked the dam, so you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos by burning the emurim on the zbech. Because it's preferable to do chavim and mitzvah b'shai to do the whole mitzvah today, right? It says in Shulchan Aruch that you don't put salt on the matzahs to the Seder on Pesach night. So the Ramos says the reason why, so some Rishonim say because lechem oini. You're going to put salt on, so it's a little bit like matzah ashira, tastes too good. But that's not the official reason that they give in Shulchan Aruch. Some Rishonim say that. The official reason the Ramos gives is that the Gemara says in Shabbos, when you say hamoitzi, you should say over a tasty piece of bread. So if you have an old stale piece of pumpernickel bread, it doesn't taste good, so you should dip it into some kind of sauce that it should taste good, or you should put on some salt. So then the Gemara said, what if you have a delicious, freshly baked challah? So the Gemara says, good, it's good the way it is, so you don't need any salt. So the Ramos says, the Pesach Dikah Matzahs are delicious, and it doesn't need any salt. So by us, the Shabbos Dikah Challahs are also the delicious. My wife bakes her own challahs. Shabbos Dikah Challahs are delicious, so you don't need any salt b'chala. Pasnikia does need salt. It says in Shulchan Aruch, there's still a minute, even if you're not going to put salt on the challahs, there's a minute to have salt on the table. Because when you wash until it's a diamond, you sit down, you have to wait till everybody sits down. It takes a couple of minutes, so there's a lot of bittul Torah going on. So in order that we shouldn't be punished because of the bittul Torah, the few minutes of bittul Torah, till we all wait till it's time to say Amoitzi, so you have salt on the table to remind the Baruch Shalom there's a bris melech olam that melech is mechaper. The salt should sit on the table. You don't have to put the salt on the challah. It's tasty. It's pasnikia, so you don't need. The Gemara says, leis dein tzarach boishesh. This delicious challah doesn't need. You don't have to wait. It's good the way it is. You don't need any salt. But you should have salt sitting on the table. The Baruch Shalom should remember he made a bris that he's not going to punish us. He shouldn't punish us for the bittul Torah. That's what Taisus and Brachas quotes. We should have salt on the table. Okay. Different minhagim. Different minhagim. So again, so the Rabbi Natam has a few chidushim here. So chidush number one, zokta, that kovid is the same as any other piece of flesh. If you salt it, no problem. So that we don't accept. We say if you salt the liver, you will not succeed in getting out all the blood. You have to dafke broil it. Broiling will remove more blood. Then Rabbi Natam has chidush number two, gita zog, that kovid is kuladam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where does he get this lashon from? So he quotes the Gemara on the previous daf on Kuftes Amid Beis. The Gemara says that Yalta was discussing with her husband Rav Nachman. We saw that funny Gemara. Yalta, yeah. She was a smart cookie. So she tells her husband, everything the Rabbanu Shalom prohibited us from eating, we have such a parallel food, kosher food that tastes the same. So we're not allowed to eat dam. But we're allowed to eat the liver, even though the liver is kula dam. The whole thing tastes like dam. So Rabbi Natan picks up that Gemara. So he says, you see that kavod is kula dam. So therefore what? So he says, therefore, mi'ikar adin, if you cook kavod in water and the dam goes out and the dam comes back in, there's no iser on dam. Dam in the kavod is mutter. Because the Torah says you're allowed to eat the kavod and the whole kavod is kula dam. So you see the dam kavod is mutter. So that's questionable. Whether we hold like that, Rabbi Natan. He says the whole discussion in the Gemara, how do you deal with the Dam HaKavod? The whole thing is on the level of the Rabbanon. On the level of the Raisa, there's no problem. You can eat, you can take the liver, squeeze out the Dam, and drink a cup full of Dam, even though it's Dam Yivarm Shepirish, because the Kavod is Kula Dam, and it's Mutter anyway, so shine. Everything goes Min HaTorah. The whole discussion is Min the Rabbanon. There's a Maharam Shif. I'm pretty sure it's on Chulin. I think the Maharam Shif on Chulin has a Shaila Halacha Lamaisa, I think at the end. Either on Chulin or on Sanhedrin. He has a Tshuva, it's by mistake, yeah. The last Maram Shif, by me it's on page Yud Beis, the very last paragraph in the Maram Shif, somehow by mistake they broiled the liver, a chicken liver, a duck liver, whatever, with butter. Something like that. So it's a shayla basa b'chalav. So it should be asa. So chicken is only basa b'chalav d'rabban. Fine. So he get tazog. Another reason why it's not basa b'chalav d'raisa, because kavod is kula dam. And if you cook dam with milk, that's not basa b'chalav. Only if you cook flesh with milk. The Gemara says, only basa v'loy dam. So dam with milk is not basa b'chalav. So kavod is kula dam. There's no flesh there. The flesh doesn't count. The flesh in the kavod doesn't count. It's considered kula dam. So he knocks it down. It's a double derabbanon. It's dam shebishlo. So it's only derabbanon. Dam shebishlo is only he deals with dam. Deals with basa b'chalav. He's mitzarv a whole bunch of things. And if you cook basa b'chalav, if you cook basa b'chalav, then it's an issue of basa b'chalav deraisa. What if you fry? What if you do tigun? What if you broil basa b'chalav? So he has a svara based on the Tosfos in Sanhedrin that it's not going to be basa b'chalav deraisa. So he makes a sfeika derabbana lekulei, some kind of a suffix. He waved the magic wand that he made that it's only basa b'chalav derabbana, and he made it into a suffix derabbana lekulei. He was mekul. So one of his tzedakim lahakal was this Rabbi Natan, that the kavod is kula dam, and it can't be in violation of basa b'chalav. So this is how the Rabbi Natan suggests. The whole discussion in the Gemara is on the level of the Rabbanon, because Min HaTorah does not issa dam at all on the kavod. So we don't really hold like that. We hold that it's a topic deraisa here. Once you're going to broil the dam, it's going to be dam shebishlo. That is correct. Dam shebishlo is a machlokes and menachas. We had it a couple of weeks ago. We paskin here. The Tosfos here has it. Take a look on Kuf Yud Aleph and Min Aleph. Dibra maschol dam deraisa. Second Tosfos in the bottom. The Gemara says you're dealing, when you're broiling the kavod, so you're dealing with an issue of dam, deraisa, you have to be more careful. So Tosfos says, what do you mean, dam is deraisa? But you're broiling it. So the worst thing is going to be dam shebishlo. Dam shebishlo is only derabbanan, it's machlokes. Avagav de'amah bakayim, it's rabba. Dam shebishlo, ain't over love, you don't get malchus, it's only nisi rabbanan, it's machlokes there, because dam is also because he's supposed to be zorek on the mizbeach. If it would have been a carbon, it's supposed to be Zarek on the Mizbeach.
Dam is Nefesh Adam.
Yeah. So, and the Nefesh is supposed to offer to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So we're not allowed to eat Dam because the Nefesh of the Behemah belongs to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Right. So the Gemara has a din there, Menachas, if you cook the Dam of the carbon, then you Zarek on the Mizbeach, you're not Yotzeh. Dam Shebishla is not kosher Lizrik Al Gab Mizbeach. Since the whole prohibition of Dam is because it's supposed to be reserved Ki Adam Wa Nefesh, supposed to be reserved for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, for Karbonis. So we paskin like that opinion. Dam Shebishla is only an Issa Derabbanan. So we're dealing with an Issa Derabbanan. We're talking about, it's going to be Dam Shebishla. We're not going to eat the liver raw. Let's say a person has a raw liver and he wants to eat it the way it is. So the Sridi Eish has a tshuva about that. See, he says, just like Tosfos said on Daf Yudalad Amar Aleph, that Dam Ivarm Shalom Pirish is Mutter. If you have a raw piece of meat, so you have to rinse off the dam on the surface, that's dam shepirish. Once you rinse off the dam on the surface, you can eat the piece of meat because the dam inside and the blood, the dam in the capillaries that didn't leave is called mayal abasar. It's only considered dam after it's pirish. when it goes out of the piece, kol zman is still in the piece, it doesn't have a din. So he says the same is true of red liver. Even though liver is kol adam, still it's dam evam shalot pirish. He says that it's mutter. When you're going to start chewing it, let's say you take a piece of flesh, raw flesh, and then you take a knife and you cut it in half. When you're going to cut it in half, the pressure of the knife is going to cause that more dam is going to come out. So on that point where you cut it, you're going to have to rinse it off again. So let's say you have a raw piece of meat or a raw piece of liver, and you're going to chew it. When you start chewing it, you're going to cause dam to come out. So that's going to be dam evarim shapirish already. So what you have to do is take a small piece of raw meat or a small piece of liver, raw liver that you didn't salt and you didn't remove any dam, and put it in your mouth and swallow. You have to take little pieces at a time. You're going to take a big piece and start chewing on it. So you're going to make it into a dam shapirish, because the chewing is going to cause more dam to be pirish.
You have to swallow it, but you can put it in your mouth again.
I don't know. That's a good shot. The Pashta says that he is chewing it, he is swallowing it, but he's going to put it in, then take it out. He's going to take a big piece, put it in, take it out. Then he's going to put it in, take it out. Then it's going to be dam shit pirish. Dam if he chews in his mouth, that's okay. Mistama, that would be okay. Taisa's quotes here.
Huh? Either dam or it's not dam. Make up your mind.
It is dam, but it's only dam if it's pirish. But pirish means when it's out of your mouth. If it's pirish while you're chewing it in your mouth, that's in the middle of the eating process. Taisus quotes dam from the gums. So Taisus says dima mascha kavdo and kuf yudam and base. So they quote the Gemara increases dam mahalchei shtayim. Human beings are called mahalchei shtayim. Human beings walk on two legs, and the behemoths walk on four legs. So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk that dam mahalchei shtayim, dam of a human being, is butam and ator. It's only awesome in the rabbanim mishum marisai. So since it's only us, Mishum Arisayin, so the Gemara has that din. Let's say a person has bloody gums, so he's going to chew an apple, he's going to chew a sandwich, he's going to make a bite in the sandwich, so he takes the sandwich out of his mouth, he's going to see there's going to be bloody marks from the blood on the sandwich. There's going to be bloody mark. There's going to be blood on the apple. So that's dam, that's us, Mishum Arisayin. Even though it's obvious that the dam came from his gums, and dam halchish time is mutter, dam orim is mutter, but still the Gemara says it's us. So what should you do? The Gemara says, cut up the apple into small pieces, and put a piece at a time in your mouth. Cut up the sandwich into small pieces, put a piece at a time. Once you put it in your mouth, and the dam comes out, but you didn't take it out of your mouth and put it back in, so there's no issa marisayin on that. So that's because you're just dealing with an issue of marisayin. But here you're dealing with a more serious issue. The dam evarim, the blood in the capillaries, is an isa deraisa only if it's pirish. Kol zman is lo pirish, it's called moyel habasar. When it's pirish, then it's called dam. So here, if you're chewing it, so you should say that's dam shepirish. It's not an issue of marisayin. You say there's no marisayin. Yeah, but how then can you chew it? What did Tosis gain? Tosis said on daf yudala they prove from our gemara, all the gemaras, the dam evarim shelo pirish is butter. But whenever you're going to chew it, you're going to make it into pirish. You have to say that the chewing is the haschala of the achila, the stomach. You have to say that doesn't count as pirish. Since you started to chew it, if you bite off a little piece of raw meat, then you take the rest out of your mouth. So when you bit it off, so the pressure of the teeth probably will cause dam on the edge to become pirish. That's going to be a problem. But if you cut a little piece and you put it in your mouth, the blood that's going to squeeze out while you're chewing, the stomach, that's derech achila. So that probably does, I would assume, that probably doesn't count as dam evarim shepirish. It's pirish in the process of eating, mistama doesn't count. So nachamot. So again, so Rav Safra was going to visit Eretz Yisrael, and Abai says, next time you go to Eretz Yisrael, ask the rabbis there, kisalkes lahasim, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, bi minayu, freg bazeh, ask the rabbanim, kavda mayatun bay. How do you deal with liver? Where was he born yesterday? What did his wife do? What did his mother do? I don't know. Abai was an orphan. He didn't have a father, didn't have a mother. His mother died a child. He never ate liver. He never ate liver before. Didn't know. Maybe. So he says, go to Eretz Yisrael and find out what do they do with liver. Kisalik, when Rab Safra visited Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechele Rabbi Zreika, he meets one of the Rabbonim, Amalei, so he says, Abai asked me to ask you, how do you deal with the COVID? Amalei, and I personally, Ano, Shalkelei Rabbi Ami V'Yachal. I took the liver and I cooked it in a pot of liquid, and the rabbi, the holy tzaddik Rabbami, hey, Rabbami lived in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Zreika tells him, I personally, Ano Shalkele Rabbami Vachayeh. So he comes back to Abaye, comes back to Bavel, to Bavel, and he tells Abaye, yes, Rabbi Zreika, rabbi, prominent rabbi, and so tell me, he personally cooked it for Rabbi Zreika, for Rabbami, and he ate it. Amalei, so Abaye says, that I knew on my own, that you can cook the liver and eat it. My shaila was, if you cook the liver together with other flesh in the same pot, will the liver asa the flesh? But if you cook the liver separately, for sure it doesn't asa. Why? So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, because the dam in the liver min haTorah is mutter, because the kabbat is kula dam. So even if you squeeze out a whole cup full and you drink it, min haTorah it's mutter. The ganze meduber is only midirabanon. So if you cook the liver separately in a pot of liquid, and the dam goes out and the dam goes back in, so that they never asked it. But the only shaila was, if you're going to cook the liver with other flesh, so the dam of the liver is going to go into the other flesh, maybe there's an isa derabanan. That was the shaila. So Amalei, so Abai tells, what's his name, Rav Safra, I didn't have to send you to Eretz Yisrael for that. That answer I know on my own. Doctor, lemeisa nafshalokam ebayli, that if you cook the liver separately, thus by me came on this gevinton, kin safek, that it doesn't aser itself. Lemeisa nafshalokam ebayli, that the liver doesn't aser itself, thus it came on this gevinton shayla. Ki kam ebayli lemeisa chaverko. My whole shayla was, if you cook liver with other flesh, does the liver aser the other flesh? Freg di gemara, how come this he knew and this he didn't know? Freg di gemara. How come that din you know? That if you cook liver separately is mutter, why is it such a double pasha that it's mutter? But the dam is going to go into the liquid, it's going to go back into the liver. So why do you know it's mutter? Because you know there's a Mishnah in Trumas. And what does the Mishnah say? Why? This non, there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says like that, if you cook liver, the dam will go out, but it doesn't absorb any dam. The liver does not become osa. So just like that, you knew, that he knows, because that's the Mishnah. So you shouldn't have a suffix whether it asses the other flesh. The Mishnah says that it asses the other flesh. It says, HaKavir Oseres, the kaveh, the liver, asses the other flesh, ve'en an aseres, it itself does not become aser. They were never machmer on the dam ha-kaveh that it should aser itself. If I cook a liver that was never full of dam, I cook a liver and the dam goes out into the liquid and goes back in, they never asered that. So the same Mishnah says, ha-kaveh aseres, the liver asses the other flesh in the pot. So if you know the Mishnah, if you know half of the Mishnah, then you know the whole Mishnah. So what was your shaila? What were you asking me? Maybe he thought it. So what did he go originally? He thought Abai was asking, is the Mishnah reliable? So he went to Eretz, so he said, yeah, we eat liver. So the Mishnah is reliable. So Abai also knew. Abai says, I know that. So if you know that, so you know the second half also. So the Gemara, Amalei, so Abai answers back. I'm mistook about the second, about that line in the Mishnah. A covered oiseres, if you cook liver together with other flesh, the other flesh becomes treif. Does the other flesh become treif because of the dam in the liver? That's why. Or maybe the Mishnah goes, Dilma Hassam, maybe that Mishnah in Trumas is cooking b'kavda di Isura. You have a liver from a treifa chicken, a liver from a treifa bird or a treifa animal. Mishum sham nenisa. Maybe it's because of the schmaltz of the liver that asses, the flavor of the flesh of the liver asses the other flesh in the pot. The suffix that he had was mishum domamai. What if it's a kosher liver from a kosher animal? And the only shaila is the dam. So the dam of the liver, the way Rabbi Natam claims, the dam of the liver is mutter min haTorah, the ganze shaila is min derabanan. So maybe dam of the liver doesn't aser any other flesh. Maybe just like the dam of the liver doesn't aser itself. I'm not worried about the fact that dam goes into the liquid, goes back into the liver. They whenever goes around that, it's mutter min haTorah, mutter min derabanan. So maybe if you cook liver that was never salted, you cook liver that's full of dam together with other flesh, maybe it doesn't aser. Maybe the Mishnah only goes b'kavda di isura. If it's a liver from a treifa balchai, so then the shamnunis, the schmaltz of the liver, will asa the other. That was the shayla. So Rab Safra traveled again to Eretz Yisrael. I guess every so often he traveled to Eretz Yisrael. It was expensive then. So the Gemara says, ki hodar salik, when Rab Safra traveled again to Eretz Yisrael, salik means to go up, to ole. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's called Aliyah. When you go down to Chutzla, it's called Yerida. Because the Gemara has a pasuk, Eretz Yisrael Gevayim Mikol HaRotzes. Eretz Yisrael is higher. We once spoke about it. What do you mean higher? Eretz Yisrael is not higher. Eretz Yisrael is not the highest elevation above the sea level. The Alps is much higher. What do you mean Eretz Yisrael Gevayim Mikol HaRotzes? Ruchni. Ruchni is, yeah, could be. So the Balamor in Rosh Hashanah has a famous comment. He says what it means. You see, we classically, we have a globe and we have the North Pole on top. You can just as well have put the South Pole on top. There's a minute we put the North Pole on top. If you want, you can put New York on top. You can put whatever you want on top. So the Shaila is when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Nisheshes Mei Bereishit, what did he have on top? Sure. So that's what the Baal HaMoor says he had. Eretz Yisrael is called Tabur HaOretz. Yerushalayim is called Tabur HaOretz. Why? When a person lays flat on the bed, so his belly is sticking up. So Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael considered the top. It's Tabu HaOretz. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Nisheshes Mei Bereishis, it wasn't the North Pole on top, it wasn't the South Pole on top, and it wasn't New York on top, and it wasn't Moscow on top. It was Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. Am I Nafkemina? What was Yimei Nafkemina? What's the top for Kibudim? The Baal HaMoor interprets the whole Gemara there that is talking about international dateline. Where is the international dateline? So the Baal HaMoor interprets the Gemara. That's how all the Rishonim are talking about the dateline. They all say the same shot. The Gemara assumed that the Earth is a globe, not flat, and the globe has two hemispheres. And instead of saying we have Eastern Hemisphere and the Western Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere is where all of civilization and culture and Western culture is. So they learn in the Gemara there's the upper hemisphere where Eretz Yisrael is on top. And then there's the lower hemisphere. And the upper hemisphere has Yerushalayim on top. When the Ribbono Shel Olam started everything, the earth spinning on its axis, everything began with Yerushalayim on top. So the edge, if that's the upper part, so the edge of that hemisphere is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, so that's the international diagram. That cuts through Korea. That cuts through Korea. Because Vahiyere, Vahivaker, Yoyim Echod, Vahiyere, Vahivaker, the first place that it was Hayom Halach Achra Laila, every day begins with Seisot Kochavim. So the first place in the globe that experienced Seisot Kochavim was Korea, Vahiyere, Vahivaker, because the earth started to spin on its axis, and its axis exactly like that, with Yerushalayim on top. So that's how the Baal HaMoor learns this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Avchof and Beis. A long Baal HaMoor, and the Kuzari has like that. And all the Rishonim who talk about the topic of the Jaitan, they all say the same shot in the Gemara, that the earth is a globe, and the two hemispheres, and the upper hemisphere is where Eretz Yisrael is. And that's Eretz Yisrael, Gevayim Mikol HaRotz, Yerushalayim, Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara knew that Ein Itim is a higher location in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is not the highest elevation above sea level. The Gemara says Ein Itim is. And nonetheless, they say Yerushalayim, Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't mean Gevayim, the highest elevation above sea level. It means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Sheshes Mei Bereishis, Yerushalayim is on top, and Eretz Yisrael is on top. So that's what the Gemara will always use the Lashon, Kisalik Lahasim. When he went up, and when he was Olet Eretz Yisrael, Kislekis Lahasim. Salik means to go up. When he went, Rav Safra went again to Eretz Yisrael, and he came to Esther Shaila. What's the din? If you cook the liver together with other flesh, will it asa the other flesh if it's kavda de hetera? If it's kavda de sura, if it's a liver from a trefa animal, so that's at least that the Mishnah says, the shamnunis of the trefa liver will asa the kosher flesh. What if it's a kavda de hetera? What if it's a liver from a kosher animal? The only diun is mishum dama, because of the dam shebo. So what the goyzer that the Rabbi Natam holds the dam is mutam in Torah. So what the goyzer that the dam and the liver, if you didn't salt and you didn't broil it, what the goyzer that the dam and the liver should ask for the rest of the flesh. Amalei ashkecheli Rab Zereke. He meets the same person again, meets Rab Zereke. So Amalei, so he says, what do you say? Does it ask for the other flesh? Amalei. Why? I personally did it. Me and my friend, Iklon Lebe Yehuda Breid Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, we visited Big Talmud Chacham, and they gave us to eat. They offered us a liver that was cooked. They offered us all the kishkes together, were cooked together in the same pot. The liver was cooked together with all the other flesh. And everybody ate it in the rabbi's home. So you see that cooking the liver that's full of dam doesn't answer the rest. So the Gemara, that's what happened. Maskev l'Rabashim, when he said, came back to Bavel and he told Abai the good news that they fed it to the holy tzaddik, what's his name? Yehuda, bread there, Shimon Pazi, a holy tzaddik, and he ate it, so you see that it's kosher. So when Rab Safra came back to Eretz Yisrael, he gave over the message that the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael would eat it. So Maskev l'Rabashi, probably in a later generation, Tame Rab Shmuel Mizaruk Kinya. So the Esther Kasha, how does that prove the issue? Maybe the pipe, the windpipe, maybe they had a pot full of the liver with other flesh was inside, and everything was attached to the windpipe. Maybe the windpipe was sticking out of the pot in such a way that all of the dam that would come from the kodesh would fall out. Maybe it was cooked in such a way that the dam would go out. Maybe the dam wouldn't be cooked together with the other flesh. You can't prove anything. Or, inami, or maybe tak everything was cooked together, but maybe they were careful that they took the liver beforehand and they did chalita on the liver. That's another word. The din is, again, we had the Tosis on Yudalad Amar Aleph, and Tosis proves it from this whole Gemara, that the din is damei varm shalo pirish, the blood in the capillaries is also. Not only the blood in the big arteries and the blood in the big veins, that mamish flowing blood, even the blood in the capillaries, the tiny little blood, dame varim is asa, but Tosfos is only a pirish, only after it leaves. It doesn't leave, is not. So the Gemara has here a din, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, if you do chalita, the two kinds of chalita, you can take your piece of flesh, take a piece of raw flesh, or take a piece of raw liver, whatever you want, and soak it in very strong vinegar. And the strong vinegar will accomplish that it'll be machlit, it'll seal in all of the blood. And that's considered, that'll always be considered dami varm shalo pirish. Even if you're going to cook the liver later on, that's okay. Just like if you salt a piece of meat, whatever dam comes out is asa, whatever dam remains behind is moel abasar. When you broil the meat, whatever dam comes out is dam, whatever stays behind is moel abasar. So when you do chalita, all of the dam that stays behind is called moel abasar. So you can do chalita in one of two ways. Either chalita bechala, chala is the Aramaic word for vinegar, or you can do chalita beroischem, in burning hot water. Let's say I have a pot, roischem means mala resichem, means bubbling hot, 212, bubbling hot water, and I take a raw piece of meat and I soak it in the pot with the burning hot water for a couple of moments. So that will seal in all of the dam, and that piece of flesh is labeled as dam evarm shalav pirish, it'll be mutter. So Ravashi or somebody, Rav Shmuel, they're not sure who, Ravashi, Rav Shmuel Mizarkunya, so they said, just because he said that they ate by this holy tzaddik, the son of Shmuel Bampazi, Shem Bampazi, and it was all cooked together, they weren't there when they were cooking it. Maybe the Maisa Shahaya was that they cooked, they took the liver shabot and they did chalit on the liver first, and then they cooked it in the pot with everything else. Why would they do such a strange thing? To do chalit on the liver, then to cook with everything else? So that's what Taisa says. They were Talmid HaChachamim, and they wanted to show the Talmidim Chidushim in Hilchas Dam. So the Gemara says, how do you prove from that? Yeah. If you do chalita on the raw kernels of grain, so it's not bole de chimutz. Right, that's what the Gemara says. If you take flour and you mix it with water, you let it sit long enough, it's going to turn into chametz. But if you do chalita on the kernels of grain, you cooked it, you burnt it right away, so that'll prevent it from ever becoming chametz. Yeah, we don't have this practice to do chalita, because you have to have the right kind of liver, the right kind of vinegar. We're afraid maybe our vinegar is not the same kind of vinegar that they're talking about. So we don't do chalita be vinegar. What's roischem? Roischem is 212. There are no two ways about it. What is there to discuss about roischem? Why don't we practice chalita be roischem? Nobody does that today. So the achrayim on Shulchan Aruch, I think Rabbi Kiveger does know the answer. We don't do chalita be chalo, chalita in vinegar. Our vinegar maybe is not as strong as their vinegar. Kem is ogre. But chalita be roischem, that's all over the world. Roischem is 212. Bubbling water is 212. No two ways about it.
Mm-hmm. Then you will be able to eat the meat.
Then you can even cook it together with other meat, and it doesn't also the dam that remains behind in this piece of meat, the natchalit, is considered sealed in, and it's dam evarm shalo pirish. So even later, when it is pirish, it doesn't pose a problem. So this was the shaila. Then the Gemara is going to discuss further details of this din. When you do chalit, what are the further details? Okay, we'll save it for next week. At the end of Parsha Samoyer, Chumash tells the story about the Megadev. So they didn't know what to do. They didn't know whether they should punish him or not. Was the given the shaila? He cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk in Tehillim describes Yosef B'Shaim Yitzchak Hashem Yilag Lomar. The Rebbeinu Shlom sits in heaven and he laughs his head off. This crackpot is cursing me. Who is he? What do you mean he's cursing me? What is the curse? I don't like someone, so I say Yakal Hashem. Hashem should punish you. What am I cursing the Rebbeinu Shlom? Hashem should punish him. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. It's nonsense. So they didn't know, does he deserve a punishment? The whole thing is a joke. Maybe it's not shocked to punish such a person. So the Rebbeinu Shlom told them, that's the din. That a person who is Megadev is Chayiv Misa. So then the pasuk continues. The Noikev Shem Hashem Os Yumos, one who curses Hashem gets the death penalty, and it gives an Arichas. Ish ki yakel kol nefesh adam os yumas. If you murder someone else, you deserve the death penalty. That's a serious aver. Maka nefesh behema yishalmena. If you kill an animal, you don't give him the death penalty. You just make him pay for the animal. He's an olam hamazik. If you chayvo b'chaver ish ki yiten mum b'misa. If you harm someone else, you break off his arm. Kasher asiken yasulo. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. All the punishments are always in accordance with how serious the avera was. Ritzicha is a very serious avera. Mazik is a less serious avera. Chava b'chavera is less than ritzicha, but it's more than mazik. The different levels. And then it says that the megadef deserves the death penalty. That's a serious avera. One would think the whole thing is a joke. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So why should he deserve the death penalty? This is how Rabbeinu Hirsch explains in his commentary on Chumash, that the Torah is repeating all these dinim. We know this dinim from other psukim Chumash. Torah is repeating it to emphasize that the punishments are always in accordance with how serious the avera was. So the more serious the avera is, so the greater the punishment the person deserves. So we shouldn't think that Megadef as Hashem is a joke doesn't mean anything. The Torah says no. That's one of the more serious averas. That'll destroy the whole civilization of mankind if they're going to be cursing our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even that doesn't make any sense. We have a lot of times, we have a din of Hidur Mitzvah. He's supposed to do the mitzvah of the Hidur. He's supposed to have a fancy pair of tefillin and a fancy tefillin zekel and beautiful tefillin. And we're not always medactic about these things. And on Shabbos you have to dress beautifully with Big Day Shabbos. So a lot of people, they dress down. Shabbos afternoon, they don't dress fancy anymore. They take off the tie, they take off the jacket, everything is relaxed. What's a big deal? You're keeping Shabbos, you're not doing the malachas. No, everything is a big deal. We have to dress formally to give chashivas to the Shabbos. And we have to do, we should be mechabed the mitzvahs. The Medrash says, it's an interesting Medrash, on the pasuk verse, Yehuda shalach lefon of Goshna, that Yankov Avinu sent Yehuda as his shaliach to Goshen to establish a yeshiva. So the pasuk uses the verb shalach. So the Medrash has an expression, the Rishonim quote the Medrash, that Shlucho Shalorim Kemoisai. So just like Yehuda, just like Yankov Avinu sent Yehuda as a Shliach, so too the mitzvahs are Shluchom Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Shlucho Shalorim Kemoisai. So one is Mechabed the mitzvahs, is considered as if you Mechabed the Rebbeinu Shalom, because the mitzvahs are Shlucho Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, a lashon that the Medrash has. If you show kavod to the mitzvah, you have a fancy talis zekel, you have a fancy, clean, beautiful talis that's ironed nicely, and you have fancy, beautiful, sparkling tefillin, and so on. When you show a hida mitzvah, even the hida mitzvah on the tefillin zekel and on the talis zekel, it shows that you're machshiv the mitzvahs. This will have an influence on the other people. You shouldn't say it's a kosher pair of tefillin. It's a kosher tzitzit, so what do you care whether it's fancy or not? No. You have to, these side points are very important, just like over here. The aver of the Megadev is a joke. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But still, it's going to destroy civilization. So the Rosh Hashanah said the punishment is in accordance with how serious the aver is, and that's considered a very serious aver. So by us, the Hidah Mitzvah is pretty insignificant. But it's very significant as far as having hashpa on other people, having hashpa on our attitude. We should give chashivas to the mitzvah. We should show chashivas. The other people should see that we give a serious chashivas to all the mitzvahs.
For the children, also. For the children.
For the children, avada. It has a hashpa, avada. Yeah, that's the reason for the Kelim Yalvei. We have a representative from Kiryat Malachi who comes once a year only.
Above